Ben, take your Bibles this morning to Psalms chapter number 63. Psalms chapter number 63. Psalms chapter number 63. looking at the message for today, God kind of led me to this passage of Scripture. We talked about revival last Sunday night inside of our evening service. And we handed out, if you look in your bulletins, a prayer list, and I encouraged our church to pray for that as we are seeking revival all the way up to the end of revival, and there's a prayer list. I won't spend time going over it right now, but the Lord kind of brought me to a spot of thinking about what revival really is. The best way to define revival is a biblical way. Sometimes when we talk about the old revivals, like we talk about Great Awakenings, we talk about last week, we gave three different revivals that happened after the Bible was fully written. It's important to realize what revival truly is. Now, as you just heard in song, we need revival all around the world, but revival begins in the individual's heart. As the individual gets their heart right with God, God can then spark revival throughout a family, throughout a church, throughout a community, throughout a country. We've seen that happen, and that's the result of many, many people getting their hearts right, and also it's a result of seeing people saved. But what we learn about revival from the Bible is just as a history of illustrations about the truths about revival. Revival is God bringing his people back to spiritual health. And the word revive means to give new strength, to give energy to. So if it's talking about bringing people back to spiritual health, to put it another way, revival is bringing his people to a level of submission and faith where he can begin to bless the way that he promised. Sort of like if you think about what happened back in the Old Testament. I know that was the Old Testament. I know it was the Old Covenant, all that stuff. But God in Deuteronomy over and over said, hey, look, if you do what's right, if you do what I've asked you to do, I want to bless you. I want to make you of a great nation. I want to do this for you. I want to do this for you. And I want to do this for you. And in our Christian lives, it's the same thing. When we allow our hearts to be revived, when we allow our hearts to become a spot where God brings back new strength and new life to it, it's the same thing. He wants to bless us. He wants to help us with the ways he promised. I mean, there's so many great promises in the Bible. You know, you talk about when if you ask something, if you get your desires lined up with God's desires, he'll answer your prayers. He talked about how you can be a fruitful Christian, one that can produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life, but also bring people to Christ. He talks about how he wants you to work, and he wants to work in your life in a way that you can actually see it. And the great revivals of the past, I believe, began with one person or a few people truly seeking after God. A person who actually said, hey, I want God. I want God more than anything else. I'm going to seek after God. I'm going to search for God. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get God in my heart and my life, making him the most important thing. So I came to this passage of Scripture, and as I've been studying and looking through it, I'm still not sure what tonight's passage of Scripture is going to be about, but it is going to be something about how revival is seeking God. And that's the title of this morning's message, Revival is Seeking God. It's looking and speaking to him, seeking him. And there's different ways, but before we get into all that, this passage of Scripture here shows me a story of a man whose heart was revived. And when you read this chapter, to me, it spoke to me about there's some things that are missing in my heart. Because inside this man's story about David, he's talking about the revival that he has in his heart, and the reviving that's happened to him shows the type of heart he has for God. I know David is a man named after God's own heart. You look at 2 Samuel a few weeks ago, we talked about David's great sin with Bathsheba. This is the story of David as he is running from his son who is trying to take over his kingdom. He's in the wilderness. He probably has a great need. He's on the run for his life. His son who wants to take over the kingdom, he is trying to take over the throne. His dad has left the area. He's left the area with the armies, and he is on the run. Could you imagine someone trying to take over your kingdom when you're king? That would be a horrible thing. Can you imagine a son rebels against you and tries to take your throne? Absalom was his name. And the story of Absalom, he is taken over the throne. He is just pretty much, he's done a lot of wicked things. We're going to go over that on Wednesday nights when we get to that part. But I want you to think about David's on the run here. And David, as he's on the run, He is, I'm sure, in a stressful situation. Not sure what's going to happen next. Absalom has forces of armies that could go after David, could search after David, could kill him and his family and the small group of people he has there. But while he is running from Absalom, he pens this psalm. And to me, you say, well, how can he write something like this in such a stressful time? It's a man who had his heart revived. Yes, he committed this great sin. He had done what was wrong. But you saw what he went through in Psalms chapter 32. We looked at for a second in Psalms chapter 51. His heart's right with God. And even though he's in a very pressure cooked situation, even though it's in a world that is not the best scenario, he writes this psalm. I know what many of you are saying, okay, revival, yeah, we want God to do this, we want God to do that, but do you understand the world we live in today? Pastor, do you see all the things we experience? Do you see all the things we got going on? How can I seek for God like that? Well, I think you found in this passage of Scripture a man who sought after God and a man who says he's going to continue to seek after God. Let's look here in Psalm chapter 63. The Bible says, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee." So he's saying that every believer and every Christian to say, hey, you are my God. He recognizing that you are my God and that every believer should look at it that way. Atheist says there's no God. The wicked people of the world say that there's many gods. He says, oh God, thou art my God. So when you're going to seek God, the only way you're going to seek God is to be one that recognizes who God is and says, I know he is God and I know I must seek him. The message today is not going to be a normal one where it has three different points. We're just going to go through the chapter. So if you're keeping notes, you can just, you know, as we stop and look at the things, there's not going to be points per se, but there's just going to be meaning from the verses. So if you're going to seek after God, first thing you're going to have to do is recognize that he's God. David, he's on the run from Absalom. He's fearful for his life, I'm sure. He's got his family that's there. He's got at least a portion of his family that's there. And he says, oh God, thou art my God. And he says, early will I seek thee. And I used to think about how the good old Christians of yesteryear used to say, I'm going to seek him in the early in the morning. I'm not going to look at anyone else's face until I can see the face of God. I'm not going to give my body any type of physical nourishment till I've had my spiritual nourishment. And it's the idea of seeking early. So it's early in the morning, it's early in our life, it's early in our responsibilities. He says, oh God, I see that you're my God. Early will I seek thee. And then he says two things here. He says, my soul thirsteth for thee, and my flesh longeth for thee. See, when we talk about the soul, when we talk about the flesh, we usually think of two contrary things. The soul speaks of our inner being. It talks about who we are and who we really are, maybe even in a sense our spiritual side. And when we talk about our flesh, we think of our fleshly side, the thing we had to battle against, the thing that we had to fight against, the thing we always had to die daily to. But David, I think, here has become a man who has sought after God, and he's seen God work, and he's seen God move, and he's seen God do things in his life that no one else probably saw up to that point when he was on the run from Saul and all the different things he experienced. He experienced that great forgiveness of God from the sin of Bathsheba, and he's writing this psalm, and he says, look, my soul thirsteth after thee. You know, he says, I recognize who God is and I will seek him early because I am thirsty for him. My inner being is thirsty. And David knows what it's like to be thirsty. David knows what it's like to be out in the desert, in the wilderness area, on the run, not just even at this time, but in times in the past against Saul. He even talked about one time how he would love to have the water that was from his, remember that story when some of his men broke through and went and got the water from Bethlehem? You know, he knew what it was like to be thirsty, and we all know what it's like to be thirsty. There's only one thing that can quench it. There's only one thing that can take that thirst away, and that's liquid. And David's saying, hey, my soul, my inner being is thirsting after God, and I have to have him. I have to know him. I have to seek after him. He said, early will I seek thee. Why am I going to seek him? Because I'm thirsty for him. And then he says, my flesh longeth after thee. That it just no longer is the spiritual side, but my flesh, because I have been dying to the self for so long and have know who God is in my spiritual side. Now my flesh, it also is longing for him. When's the last time you really, truly were thirsty for God? I mean to the point that you would seek him. I mean to the point that means that you get up early to seek him. And you say, Pastor, I get up in the morning and do my devotions. I'm glad for that, and I think we should. But David is talking about a heart as he is running from God and says, you know what? I am thirsty for God. I actually long for God. You say, Pastor, what is this a picture of? It's a picture of man's heart that has sought after God, a man after God's own heart, a man who's had his spirit revived. Because you see, he has strength that has nothing to do with the physical. It's all about the spiritual. And he says, my soul thirsteth after thee. My flesh longeth after thee. And he says, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, where no water is. So he's saying, even in this desperate time, that even when I'm running, and I know sometimes we get busy, and sometimes the first thing you might say, revival is seeking after God. And if I come up and say, hey, we should seek after him, we should search for him, we should take special time, we should take special seasons in prayer, maybe deny ourselves things so that way we can hear from God because our soul's thirsty and because our flesh is longing for him. Most of us would say, who has time for that? David here is on the run, and he is penning this psalm as he is running for his life. And if anybody didn't have time, it'd probably be David here, and he's worried about what's going to be happening. And he says, look, I got to take care. I got to seek him early. I have to recognize him as God, and I see him as God because there's something inside of me that's thirsting for him. There's something inside of me that is saying that I need to get a hold of God. When's the last time we really truly been thirsty? Forget about the flesh longing for him. The flesh means that we are thirsty in our inner being, that we have met that need and we've met with God, that we've seen God and experienced God, and now even our fleshly side wants to know him even greater. Thirsting after God. And not just at any time when he's sitting on his throne and when things are going well, good, and when the battles are raging, when the battles are all over and he's in the lap of luxury. He says, out in this wilderness place, he said, in this dry and thirsty land, this is where I'm going to seek him at. This is where I know he is at. And then you keep on going, and he says, in a dry, thirsty land where there's nothing else that can quench my thirst for God but God. And then you go to verse number 2, and he says why he is thirsty. He says, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I've seen in the sanctuary. He's saying, I am longing to see God work. I am so thirsty and my flesh is longing because I remember seeing God before in power. I remember seeing God before in glory. I remember what God has meant to me and how I've seen God work, and I'm thirsty for that. I'm longing for that. And all I want to do is I want to see God's glory and God's power happening in my life. You know when that happens? It's when we seek him. It's when we get so disgusted with us and ourselves that we say, I need him. I thirst for him. He is my God. And I know who he is. Thou art my God. I'm going to seek after you. And no matter what, I'm going to seek after you because I want to see your power. I want to see your glory as I've seen it. So as I've seen it in their sanctuary. Just like I've seen it before. There's been a time in my life and a moment in my life that I've seen God work. And that's what revival will do. That's what reviving of your heart, the new strength and the new life that can be brought to our lives, is something that we want to see God work. You go back to the Beatitudes, and we might look at it a little bit tonight. It says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall see God. They should see God. They see God work. They see God move. Isn't that what we long for? Isn't that what we want to see? Is that why we come to church? We want to see God working and moving in our lives. We don't care if it's something great. We don't care if it's something magnificent. We don't care if it's like a revival where, like it did on the day of Pentecost, where thousands get saved. We're just happy with seeing, you know what? God was here. God met with me. God fulfilled. God worked this out. It could have been no other way. God had to do this. God had to make this happen. And when we see God working in our lives like that, you know what happens? Our hearts get revived. We have new strength. We have new life. And that's what David is saying. He says, I want to see thy power. And I want to see thy glory. This is what I want. This is what my heart is longing for. This is what I'm thirsting for. And then you go to the next verse and he says, because thy kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. He says, now remember, David has been king. David has been someone who had his desires filled whatever way he wanted to, sitting on the throne. If anyone has experienced life, it would have been David as king, and he would have had any and everything he wanted. And he said, I've learned something, that thy loving kindness is better than life. He said, look, you are my God. I'm going to have to seek you because I'm thirsting after you. I'm longing after you, even in this dry and desert place. I long to see thy power. I long to see thy glory because thy loving kindness is better than life. It's better than anything this world has to offer. It's better than anything that any money can buy, any pleasure can have. He says, because I've learned this. I've experienced it all. I've been on the low end of the spectrum to the high end of the spectrum, and this life is nothing compared to the loving kindness of God. That's why I'm going to seek you. If we truly want our hearts to be revived, we got to say, this world doesn't have what I need. It doesn't offer me what brings true happiness. And that's what he says next. He says, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Then he says, my lips shall praise thee. He says, because I've learned this and because I understand this, because I know thy loving kindness is better than life, I can do nothing but praise you. How many of us have problems praising the Lord? I mean, it goes to the point that many of us aren't thirsting and we're not thirsty for God and longing for God because we're not seeking him and because we've never seen him work and move in a powerful way in our lives. We've never seen him use us to bring someone to Christ because we don't very often see him use us in a way that can minister to someone else. And because of this, we start wondering, okay, yeah, God is good. God is great. Yeah, God's done this for me. God's done this. And David says, I've experienced it. I've seen it. You know what? Your loving kindness is better than life. All I can do is praise thee. And let's keep on going. Not only does he say that, he says, thus I will bless thee while I live. And I look at that and I think about it. While I live kind of jumps off the page to me. David's there and he's running for his life. He doesn't know how long it's going to happen. Nothing has changed this feeling that he has for God. Nothing has quenched his spirit for God right now. Absalom is there. Absalom is in his kingdom. We know that Absalom's talking about taking an army after David. Absalom's there, and he doesn't know what's going to happen. If the whole army came after David, you know what's going to happen? David's going to die unless God intervenes. But he says, thus will I bless thee while I live. He says, I don't care what's happening to me. I don't care that it's my son that has taken over the throne. I don't care that there might be an army after me right now. He says, while I live, I will bless thee. He says, that comes from a man who has sought after God and he's found him. He sought him early and God has found him. He has a relationship with God. He has a heart that's revived. He has a heart that's full of strength. And he's saying, look, I'm thirsty. I'm longing, but I'm not thirsting and longing to get back on the throne. I'm not thirsting and longing to get back to all those pleasures. I'm not thirsty. He says, I'm longing for God. I'm going to have to seek him early in the morning. It's something I have to do. I want to seek God. He says, I want to see his power. I want to see his glory. Just like I've seen it before in a sanctuary. Because I've come to the understanding that his loving kindness is better than life, I have to praise him. And then he goes and says, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to bless him. I'm going to continue to do what I'm supposed to. Then he says, I will lift up my hands in thy name. He's saying he's not going to stay quiet about it. He says, I'm going to demonstrate it. I'm going to show it that other people will be able to see. And then he goes to verse number 5, and I like this verse. He says, my soul shall be satisfied. And he says, well, yeah, that's good. He says, my soul is going to be satisfied. I'm going to be content even if I'm laying on the sand and even if I'm in a travel and we're in this caravan that's running. Now, but it goes a step farther. This is a person who sought after God. This is a person whose heart is revived. He's not only is he going to be satisfied. Look what he says. He's going to be satisfied with what? As, it says, as with marrow and fatness. He said, I'm not just going to grin and bear it. I'm not just going to say, hey, I'm going to be satisfied and I'm going to be content just because I know things might be tough and God's told me to be content. He says, I've got God. And he says, I've met with God. I've sought with him early in the morning. And even though my life seems like it's falling apart, not only am I going to be satisfied, I'm going to be satisfied with marrow and fatness. That means that if you have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and you're just thankful because you have it, it's going to be like eating steak and shrimp. It means that you're going to want, that it's just phenomenal. That, you know, I'm not going to look at my life and say, oh yeah, I'm going to be content. I'm going to be satisfied. I'm going to look at my life and say, with marrow and fatness, it can't get any better than this because I've met with God and I've sought after him. I found him. And guess what? Not only am I satisfied, I'm filled up. I am just filled up with his goodness. And you know, these are what you see as a result of a person who sought after God. A person who said, I don't care if it's early in the morning. I don't care if it means that I have to become thirsty and hungry. I need it. I want to see him work. And it's worth paying the price to see his power and glory in the sanctuary. Because I've learned something that so many people do not understand, that his loving kindness is better than anything this life has to offer. I will continue to praise him. I will continue to bless him as long as I live. And I'm not only going to be satisfied, I am going to be satisfied to the point that I feel like I have the best that life has to offer because I have God. Let's keep on going. It says, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. You know, and my mouth's going to praise him. He can't get over this. But where does it begin? Where does the story begin? It starts with, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. How do you get to this point? How do you get to the spot where you can be satisfied with as with marrow and fatness? How can you be satisfied and going to praise him with, joyfully with my lips when everything in the world seems like it's falling apart? There's a connection here. You see in the next verse, the word when. He says, when I remember. Now, I think this is kind of interesting in this psalm that he's at the beginning, he says, I will seek thee. Early will I seek thee. But look what it says in verse number 6. When I remember thee upon my bed, meditate on thee in the night watches. So there's a connection here. It starts off early seeking him, and then when we're laying ourselves to bed at night, and even in the night watches when we can't sleep, or even those times we choose not to sleep, what are we doing? We're remembering. We're not feasting on the things of this world. We're not putting a bunch of things in our hearts and minds that can cloud out the judgment. We're not thinking about how great that basketball shot was the night before. We're not, nothing wrong with watching a basketball game. We're not thinking about, I wonder what's going to happen next week on that TV show, or I wonder what news thing is going to happen, or I wonder what's worrying about our family or worrying about our circumstances. It says, when I remember thee upon my bed, when I lay myself to bed, I'm going to remember your loving kindness. It's better than life. I'm going to remember what thy power and thy glory that I saw in the sanctuary. I'm going to remember those times you met with me and you've taken care of me. These are the things that I'm going to put myself to sleep. Because the next morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to seek you again. Because when I don't remember God before I go to bed, it's going to be a lot harder to get up and seek him early in the morning. Because I forget how good God's been to me on this side. And he's saying, when I remember thee upon my bed, and more than likely there was no bed for him now. And I, once again, I know he was saying he's running from his kingdom. There's a number of people that they prepared for this when it was happening. It was quick and it was fast, but I'm sure he had some type of provisions that were there. But it wasn't the bed that he was used to. It wasn't the kingly bed. But he says, I meditate on thee in the night watches. I think about those night watches sometimes, and I know there's times in my life that I have trouble sleeping. There's times in my life where things are not as easy, and sometimes things get your mind occupied on other things and you stay awake. But then you see that David says in the night watches, and I know there's been times in my life where I've gotten up and I had to remember God for a little while just because I wanted to seek him, because I wanted to remember him. Even in the middle of the night, I woke up and thought, you know what? I need to spend some time with the Lord. You go in verse number 7, it says, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. David's saying, I am going to remember God on my bed. I am going to meditate on thee in the night watches. This is what I'm going to remember about him. When I lived for him, he helped me. When I sought after him, I found him. When I truly gave my heart and my life over to him, those are times that I remember that he was what? It says in verse number 7, he says, because thou hast been my help. That you helped me. That's the things I'm going to remember on the bed. That's the things I'm going to meditate on. That's the things it says, because when you were my help, I saw how you covered me under your wings, how you took care of me. I have nothing else I should do but to praise you and to remember you. And because when I stay on that focus of seeking after you and searching for you and looking for you, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to become thirsty. I'm going to come to a point where I long for you, that I'm going to want to see you work, that I'm going to remember how good your loving kindness is, and that it's better than anything this life has to offer. And I'm going to continue on to praise you and bless you when I remember you on my bed and when I meditate on thee. Because when I remember and I think about God, and I think about all the things he's done for me, he saved me. You know, he has saved me. That should be enough. But besides just saving me, he's given me his word. He's given me his Holy Spirit. He's given me an opportunity to pray. He's given me many times families that love us, a church that loves us, and he has provided. So I'm going to remember that in times of stress before, I remembered and I meditated on you. You know what I found out? You helped me. When you think about David's life, when Saul had cornered him more than once as a young man, what does he meditate on? God helped me then. But if he was more focused on, okay, how are we going to get to the next spot? And how are we going to get to the next spot? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with planning and preparing. The Bible talks that those are good things to do. But when we're going to bed and we remember, and one of our main focuses of our heart, we retain the knowledge and we meditate about what God has done for us, we're going to say, you know what? He did help me. He didn't forsake me. I remember when it seemed like my life was falling apart and my life was crashing down, and I spent time and I sought after him and I sought after him, and I look back on those days that I didn't think I was going to make it. I didn't think I was going to survive. I thought everything was just going to be torn up and everything bad was going to happen, and God stepped in and helped me. And that's what he's remembering. And he says, you know what? When I do that at night, I then remember God helped me. And I remember about that power, that glory, that loving kindness. And it makes me want to get up the next day and experience it again. It makes me want to say, you know what? I need to seek him. Because it's better than life. And then you keep on going. And he gives this idea, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. He said, because of all this, my soul, the inner part of us, followeth hard after thee. You know, I wonder when the last time we followed hard after God. And I am not minimizing the spiritual walk or the Christian walk, the importance of reading our Bible and praying, because some people struggle with that, and the soul winning and being faithful to church, and some people struggle with that. But in all reality, those are, for the most part, what we would consider bare minimums of things we know we're supposed to be doing. That wouldn't be considered following hard after God, would it? I don't think that would be considering, okay, I'm following hard after God, that I'm searching. I'm following hard would make me think that it's something that takes work and effort and going above and beyond and saying, okay, this is normal Christianity. This is what I want to do. But if I'm going to seek after God, if I'm going to search after God, if I'm going to get up early and I'm going to do those things, if I want my heart revived, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to follow hard after Him. It's just not reading a little bit and saying, okay, I'm done for today. It's not just saying a few prayers, a few words. It's not just passing out a track or two. It means that I want God to consume my life, and I want God to lead my life and direct my life, and I want to follow hard after Him. When we think about, you know, spring revivals and fall Bible conferences and even missions conferences, we have these special meetings, and there's a purpose for it. It's because, as we mentioned earlier, revival is God bringing His people back to a spiritual health. It means making them healthy once again, because sometimes we grow tired, we grow weak, we are malnourished, we don't seek after God, and it's a reminder that we have like a shot in the arm by coming to church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. It's kind of, okay, let's try to get us back to where we should be and need to be. That's why it's important to come to church, all the services, because of the fact that we need that. That's following hard after God. That is at least the beginning of following hard after God, taking and saying, God, I want to hear from You. The Bible says that some things don't come but by prayer and fasting. We've talked about fasting before, denying ourselves some normal, basic needs of life, because why? We want to hear from God. We want to see God. Following hard after Him. When's the last time we've done that? I mean, when's the last time we said, okay, this is all I'm going to do? The ladies' appreciation luncheon happened yesterday, and put things off. It's not because I'm lazy, it's because I got lots of things I want to do. So when it comes to a couple days before something happening, you know what I'm doing? I'm saying, okay, I'm doing this. I'm following hard after this. I'm going to spend the next, I have 48 hours to do this, 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 and this. I'm trying to get accomplished. So I set everything else aside, and I still read my Bible. I still pray. I set everything else aside to accomplish this. That's what I think that it's talking about, following hard after God. Setting everything else aside to say, this is what I want to accomplish. Maybe it's just me, but I think many of us are like that. There becomes a focus. There becomes something that becomes the greater priority and says, that's what I have to accomplish. That's what I'm going to follow hard after. Sometimes it's a relationship. Sometimes it's a sport. Sometimes it's making money. Sometimes it's a hobby. Sometimes, you know, you can put a long list of things there. There's nothing wrong with focusing our mind and accomplishing something because it needs to be accomplished. But when's the last time we did that with our relationship with God? See, in this story, I see a man who recognized who God was, had experienced God before in the past, and he says, you know what? I'm going to seek Him in the morning because I want to do it again. And because I've done it before, it makes me thirsty. Do any of you thirst to want to be where you were before in your Christian life? Do any of us really thirst to have that closeness that we had with God at one time? Maybe you're there, but I know there's been times in my life where, you know, I was closer. He meant more to me because I was spending time seeking after Him. There's been spiritual highs in our life. Are you thirsty for that again? Because God is looking for you to be in a place that He can bless. He wants you to experience. He wants you to be in a revived spirit all the time. God's revival is God bringing his people to a level of submission and faith where he can bless them the way he promised. He desires to bless us. And I'm not talking about a wealth and prosperity gospel. I'm not. Because that didn't happen for Paul. That didn't happen for the New Testament Christians. Many of them lived in poverty and they still abounded in their giving. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the spiritual fruit in our life, seeing people saved, living a victorious Christian life, seeing relationships mended, seeing God work, just seeing God move. I could tell you stories about just simple little things that God has done in my heart, in my life, and while just being around the ministry, watching, wow, that's neat how God worked that out. That's what we want to see. That's what we want to experience. That's what David did. Why did he do that? It's because he was a man that sought after God. So I think revival is seeking after God. I think every time you saw a revival happen, you saw Nehemiah. When Nehemiah brought revival to that land in Jerusalem, when he came, we might look at Nehemiah a little bit tonight, he sought after God. Paul in the Ephesus, he sought after God. Nineveh, you know, when Jonah finally got his heart writing, he sought after God in the whale. Over and over, different times, there was kings in the Old Testament. Israel was wicked. Israel did things. What did they do? They found the book. And when they found the book, you know what happened? They followed after God. They sought after God. This God wanted to bless the nation of Israel. And you see nation of Israel over and over. When they did what was right and they sought after God, guess what happens? God blesses. How do we relate that to our lives today? When we truly seek after him, I think he'll bless us. Do we seek after him? Let me read the verses 1 through 8 one more time. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Say, Pastor, where's the application in this? I pray the application was all through it. But the challenge is that this week we seek for God at a greater rate. We follow hard after him. Say, Pastor, I'm busy. I'm sure David was busy too. But we see David's response. David's response was one of a heart that had sought after God and realized that even when it was busy, even when it was trying, he still needed to seek him. Follow after God harder than you ever have before and let God work in your heart and life. Those 10 requests that we mentioned, use that as a tool. Let God seek you. Seek after God. Search for him. Tonight we're going to probably look at a few things about how to seek after him. But before we did that, I wanted to see of a heart of a man that had sought after him. Wouldn't you like to talk like that? Wouldn't you like to believe like that? Wouldn't you like to say, boy, I am thirsty. I am hungry. I am longing. I am someone that recognizes that your loving goodness is better than life. Not just as a trite saying, but to truly mean that. To say that, you know, when I go to bed at night, I think about you. I meditate on you in the night watches. And I've learned that you've helped me. And I just got to praise you. I just got to lift my hand up to you and praise. I just got to be willing to bless you while I live. And not just to say those things, but to experience those things. Who was that? That was someone who sought after God. This morning, I know the sermon was intended to people who are Christians and believers. But if you're here this morning and do not know Christ as your personal Savior, Jesus Christ came to die for your sins. We all have a sin problem. There is a sin need in our lives that each and every one of us have. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that sin will separate us from God for all eternity. If you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, if you're not sure if you died today that you'd go to heaven, come forward during the invitation time. We'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. I'm going to be standing right down there. They'll take you in the back, take a few minutes and show you from the Bible how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. If you'd like to do that today, I'd like to hear at least how that can be done, let me encourage you to come and know that. But I think for the rest of us that know Christ, and I don't know how many people are saved or unsaved, I think that the next few minutes during invitation time would be a wise time to ask God, should I seek you this week? And should I follow hard after you this week? Because I don't think God would ever say, don't worry about that. That's a bad thing to do. I don't think he'd say that. I don't know a good reason why we couldn't or shouldn't. As we schedule a meeting, once again, you can't schedule revival. God's the only one that revives the heart. But he is someone that's willing to help you today. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.